Welcome back to The Protectors. Today I am joined by a very special guest, but before we get there, let's talk about OSD, Outperform, Serve, and Develop. What that is, it's a great organization. We're getting vets out there. We're helping them. So please support us. And why do I say that? Because right now, Xbox is supporting us by matching donations up to $250,000. That's a lot of zeros, and it really helps. So if what you could do is if you could donate between now and the end of March, that would be great. Really appreciate it. Give a shout out to the Protectors podcast and maybe I'll send you something extra. So thanks. Cabron. Is that how I did I pronounce that right?
Cabron.
Cabron. There we go. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Excited to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on because we're talking about a very important topic, especially when it comes to the community of law enforcement, military, emergency responders, everybody that might have some sort of impact that may give them a concussion or TBI.
Yeah, I want to thank you and all of the listeners, anyone who served in the military or in law enforcement or first responders. I mean, men and women that put their lives on the line have my greatest, deepest respect and thanks. So thank you for doing the show as well.
Well, thank you, because, you know, you wrote a book, mm-hmm. Concussion Rescue, and we all know right now that this is a huge aspect of the trauma that occurs, especially in our veterans coming back, suffering from IEDs, VBIEDs, or any other explosive device or falls or anything.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's, as you know, the signature wound of war, and it's so common. 350,000 veterans have had a brain injury. It's, you know, somewhere between 19 and 25%. It's like a quarter of everyone who serves will have a brain injury. That's sad, but what's even sadder, I think, is that the current approach doesn't go far enough. It doesn't address the underlying causes and problems that actually facilitates healing for these individuals who have given their lives to help.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is because a lot of times, and you know, I mentioned this a bunch of times on a podcast, and for any new listeners, I do have a military background. I did deploy to Iraq in 2005, 2006, so Kuwait and Iraq. And you know what? I'm still very limited on my knowledge of how to treat TBIs. And I'm glad that in the past, you know, few years, it's starting to pick up some traction that this is a really, you know, this is one of those things out there that may even be causing PTS and everything that goes along.
Right. Right. Exactly. It can cause, you know, symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And often it's confusing, like, okay, is this PTSD? Is this from TBI? What's happening? Because it was a traumatic event, an IED blast, for example. It was a life-threatening event. Plus, there was damage to the brain, a concussive blast to the brain. And a brain injury or concussion, even without loss of consciousness, can cause damage to the brain because the brain is soft. It's as soft as butter. The skull is hard like a rock with many sharp bony ridges and is not designed to be hit. And especially a concussive blast can penetrate very deeply into the brain and damage many of the structures and cause bleeding and swelling and damage. And so you're right, it's very common. Many people don't know about it, that not losing consciousness is a brain injury. Hitting your head, seeing stars, could be enough to cause a concussion, and it's cumulative. So those folks that are detonating bombs or even shooting large guns could cause enough repeated subconcussive jolts or jostles to the brain to cause damage cumulatively. And, you know, we did it. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, I know you're going to mention a study, put a pause on that, for put a bookmark in that one, because we had the recent attack from Iran into Iraq, and at first they said there was no injuries. Then the next thing you know, there was, I think 90 came back with 92 service member came back with TBIs. Mm-hmm. So it does happen, like just explosive concussion. It doesn't necessarily mean you were getting hit with an IED specifically.
Right. Exactly. Just being in that shockwave blast. You know, and there's some studies showing that perhaps that kind of injury causes more hormonal damage to the pituitary gland than other mm-hmm. types of injuries, such as hitting your head. So the pituitary is like your master hormone gland. And 25 to 50% of people with a brain injury have damage to the pituitary gland. And if that's the case, that can cause low testosterone, low estrogen, progesterone in women, low growth hormone, and will cause symptoms of like fatigue, low motivation, anxiety even. There can be low pregnenolone levels. This is another hormone. So the same symptoms that we think are due to a brain injury or due to post-traumatic stress could be due to hormonal deficiencies from that blast.
Huh.
Yeah. So one of the guys doing a lot, I got to mention Dr. Mark Gordon out of the Millennium TBI Foundation, and Andrew Marr, he's a Green Beret, or was a Green Beret. And he had a blast injury repeatedly just because that was his job. Mm-hmm. He was really suffering and wasn't getting help through the regular from the VA. Was on medications, was using substances to feel better, was drinking mm-hmm. alcohol, very depressed. And then he found Mark Gordon, figured out that he had very low testosterone as part of the plan. He was given testosterone and his mood just lifted. He was bright eyed again. He wasn't depressed. And that's what I've seen many times. I was trained by Dr. Gordon. He's an endocrinologist in how to do this. And he's training others because it's a huge problem and it's treatable. It's treatable.
I'm glad you bring up the test, you know, and you're checking it off. Cause I'm not going to reveal the results, but you know, the testosterone level, it seems to be, you know, there was another veteran that wrote a book, Nick, and a lot of it later on, he was talking about he's having issues with testosterone. And so I did a testosterone check and I'm like, you know what? You didn't hear about that, you know, 3-4 years ago, or it seems revolutionary that we're actually getting beyond the typical, hey, you're damaged, your brain is damaged. Maybe there's a lot more going on than just what's mm-hmm. inside the brain. Maybe it's affecting the other parts of your system.
People are catching on to this. You're right. It's at the forefront. And we're starting to realize there's more that can be done. There's nutrient deficiencies. There's hormonal deficiencies. Diet plays an important role. You know, there's been over 35 large-scale trials trying to find the one cause to heal the brain from injury.
Mm-hmm.
They've all failed. You know, we've been able to reduce the death rate, but not to really heal brains. And so what we're starting to realize is that we need to take a completely different approach. It's not the one pill to cure the brain from injury. It's a comprehensive program that gives us mm-hmm. the best shot. You know, we need to go back to the drawing board and think about what's actually going to help heal the brain, because the brain's complicated.
That's the truth.
it's no, it's not just a Chevy engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's multiple factors. So
no, you can't, and like you said, you just can't take a pill. This isn't like, you know, like you said about the engine. You can't just throw some good gas in there and hope it runs better. Hope it runs for 100,000 miles.
Exactly. You know, your brain, just thinking about nutrition, for example, your brain uses 20 to 30% of calories in your diet. And that's like a quarter of your plate. You think about it. Very hungry organ, your most metabolically active organ. And so what happens after injury is that those glucose transporters are damaged, it's hard for the brain to actually utilize fuel and glucose. It's very hungry, but then it's damaged. It's like really tough. And so one of the things I recommend people consider, it's not for everyone, but the ketogenic diet, which is a high fat, low carb diet. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling with brain injury chronically, it's really helpful because the body, you know, our brains are hybrid. We can burn glucose for fuel or fats for fuel. And it takes less energy to burn and create, use fats for fuel or ketone bodies versus glucose. So you can get, the brain can use that within a few steps and be able to increase energy and healing.
And that's what we need. We need different, you know, it should be an all factors approach to treating TBIs, to treating mental health. And that's the thing too, is like, if you're, like you said, you know, I never thought about how much the brain burns fuel is because, you know, let's say you're suffering from PTS. Maybe you're just, you know, you're putting everything in your body that's just not working, i.e. alcohol, drugs, bad foods, and you're just trying to cope with it and you just can't get through that funk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So it's really, so the book is Concussion Rescue. Mm-hmm. And when does this release?
You know what? It's out. So
it's out now. Perfect.
In January it came out. So it's just out. We're going to come out with a program that's like video. So it's on Audible. Mm-hmm. You can also, we're going to create a video series because some people, especially if you've had a brain injury, sometimes it's hard to absorb information. So be able to watch it, but tried to make it user friendly. There's a section on each of the main issues that are problematic for brain injury, such as insomnia, huge one. Many people after with PTS or just in general brain injuries have had insomnia. 30 to 70% of people with a history of head injury have insomnia, and it's so common. I'd say more 70%. It's really hard to heal the brain if you're not sleeping, and so getting rest is key. And yeah,
and as you're talking, I'm like checking the blocks in my head. I'm like, huh, because we were talking about before we started chatting tonight. We were talking about you and I were talking about, you know, the emergency responders and police and law enforcement and everything having these same types of issues. Whether that either tussle on whether suspect or, you know, they get a car accident or any other type of activity that hurts the structure of their brain, and they fall into the same category.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And having sleep, and we think maybe why is there's damage to the one part of the brain that produces hypocretin, which is this hormone that keeps people awake. And so if you're sleepy during the day and then kind of sleepy at night, it's a vicious cycle. And also less melatonin production after a brain injury. And also just the neurons are kind of a little bit damaged and fried. And it's like a light switch flickering. It's not quite on, not quite off. The brain can't think. And you actually need energy to turn the brain off as well. So it's just, yeah.
I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, I'm kind of tired during the day. Testosterone is not where it should be. I'm like, this is kind of an interesting conversation we're having there.
Yeah. Got to get you some answers for you.
And maybe then, I should read this book next rather than put it on my laundry list of books.
Let's move it up in the file there. And you're not alone. I mean, many men, are struggling in the same way. That's the thing. That's what I love about trying to help people with this.
Now, what about women veterans and women LEOs and anybody else suffering from TBIs?
Yeah. So no one escapes. And actually, women are more vulnerable to the effects. When men hit their heads more and get more brain injuries as a whole. But things like contact sports, women or young girls hitting soccer balls with their heads, they get more concussions than their male counterparts. And women who happen to have a concussion in the military or police force or wherever, There's something about the female brain. Now, the female brain is superior to the male brain in many ways.
That's the truth.
You know, very active. We actually, Dr. Amen, who I work for at Amen Clinics, has done extensive research on the brain, and we use brain imaging, a type of imaging that's looking at blood flow and activity versus like an X-ray or an MRI that's more structural. And one of the, we have a huge database, we've been doing this 30 years, Dr. Amen has. And so we have the world's largest database now of SPECT scans, single photon emission, S-P-E-C-T scans in the world. And so we can do cool things like research, ask these questions. Okay, this is one of the first things he asked. It was, okay, what's the difference between the male brain and the female brain? And in general, the female brain is much more active than the male brain. And like you said, you probably could have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
But the pros and cons to that, harder to turn off at night, maybe, you know, a little more worried perhaps. It's stereotypical. These are general patterns, so not true for everyone, but in general. And the actual structure of the neurons is a little bit more delicate or fragile. And so when there is an injury, there's more damage that occurs. And that's one thing to keep in mind, that women should keep that in mind as well, that if they've hit their head and having concussion symptoms, you really want to address that as soon as possible.
You know, what have you had any results? You know, you have the 115. I was reading a book, 115,000 brain scans. Mm-hmm. Now, what have you, has your therapy or your procedures or anything, have you seen results yet? Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Well, so we've studied the football players. So retired NFL, terrible looking brains, very low activity in general. And so we did a study on 30 of them who had problems with memory. Some had depression, anger, and were likely headed toward chronic traumatic encephalopathy. You've heard of this happening with these folks. And put them on a program to, which was simple, supplements, exercise, really good diet, nutrition, treat sleep apnea if they had sleep apnea, screen and treat that, have them lose weight if they needed to lose weight, and then rescan them. So after 6 months, 80% improvement in mood, depression levels, irritability levels, and attention and memory. And we rescanned their brains, better blood flow, and we could compare the two scans. And so we have that on our website, so we can look at the before and after SPECT scans. That's kind of a neat thing to do. So yes, that's the thing. That's what I'm here to say, is that you're not stuck with the brain that you have, especially if it's injured. It's never too late to at least try to heal the brain from injury, and that you can improve brain function and activity and help to heal the brain. Even, you know, these football players, it had been 10 to 20 years since they had played. And so it wasn't too late for them.
The body is very resilient. I mean, look at the people who stop smoking and their lungs become fully functional again. It's like,
right.
Why aren't we doing more? Exactly.
That's what people are starting to catch on to, is that we don't have to accept the situation. And that's what I'm sad about with brain injury in particular and concussions, is that in the past 20 years, we haven't really changed the approach much. And there's hundreds of studies out there pointing us in the right direction. And so that's what I write about in Concussion Rescue, is that there are things that we can do. And the best way is a programmatic approach where we have supplements, nutrition, exercise, solid sleep, and maybe an exercise, and maybe adding other interventions like hyperbaric oxygen if needed, mm-hmm. Looking at hormones. And these are all within the reach of anyone to be able to do. You don't have to have a brain scan to do this. This is why I wrote the book, because not everyone can do that. and we need the information to get out there.
So, and you know, you're bringing up a lot of techniques that have, like I mentioned this before, the past few years, things have kind of really exploded because, like you said, the old techniques are not working. Mm-hmm. We need to have new techniques, whether that's maybe you do interject some type of medicine in there, but there has to be more than just a pill.
Right. And then medications can be life-saving. I'm not completely anti-med. They are very helpful, but they don't really facilitate healing of the brain per se. That's the thing.
And the other thing too is talk to people. You know, outside of that, you still need relationships.
Right.
Don't get into your cocoon because it does help. It does affect your mental well-being. Mm-hmm. And not to get very homeopathic or anything, but you know, we need the sun, we need this, we need that, we need nurturing,
yeah,
from all facets.
Right. We need to get outside. We need to move. Our bodies are made to move. Some folks are really catching on to that we need to exercise as soon as possible after a concussion. It's not that you need to wait for weeks and weeks. As soon as possible, as long as you're not having a recurrence of symptoms, that's the key. If you're having a lot of symptoms, it's too much too soon. So say you go out for a 15-minute jog and you come back and you start having a headache again or nausea or dizziness. Well, it's too much too soon. Maybe go 10 minutes or do a 15-minute walk instead of a jog.
And the classes you're talking about too, especially with this podcast, is you're talking about almost like a warrior class. You're talking about people who are, you know, they're set to be in a physical routine. Because in law enforcement, military, emergency responders, you have to be able to move.
Mm-hmm. Right. So these are the perfect people to do this program and do this approach. And, you know, there was one guy that I'm thinking of. He was 30 years old when he came to see me, but he was a gunner in the back of a Jeep, and they had an IED blast. He was blown off the Jeep and loss of consciousness for about a minute. And he was taken to the medic, just sort of watched, and they, you know, observed him, but he didn't get completely better. He started having problems with mood, became very depressed, very angry and irritable, problems with focus and concentration, couldn't do his job well, and was able to complete his tour. And then he came back and continued to struggle at home, and was able to get married, but a lot of conflict in the relationship. And what we found for him was, and he was doing okay. He was taking some supplements. He was staying fit and exercising, but still struggling. He was one of the keys for hormonal support. We tested his level. 30-year-old, fit, in shape guy, testosterone levels of about 200 when they should have been like above 600 ideally. Oh, wow. For his, yeah. And we gave him some support for that. And within a few weeks, he had, you know, his depression had lifted, his mood had lifted, his anger was way down, and he could focus better. So that, back to the testosterone, that was key in his situation. In other people, it's taking supplements. It's taking nutrients that help quench that inflammation. When there's been, I got to tell you about this story. There's been some interesting studies to just show what happens into the brain when there's been a brain injury. In Stanford, there was Theodore Roth. He was an undergraduate researcher. He implanted an intracranial microscope into a mouse skull, and then gave the little mouse a head injury, this poor little mouse, and watched as in real time as this cascade of inflammatory events occurred, never before seen footage. This was in 2013. And then he took and applied glutathione, which is an antioxidant, to the mouse skull. This is an antioxidant we make in our bodies, and it's very powerful, and it quenched inflammation, and it reduced cell death by 67% when applied immediately, 50% if applied within 3 hours. So then, so take that. So how can we use that information? This is what the light bulb for me. they did a study with active military. They took 81, this is a double-blind placebo-controlled trials, 81 active military folks. And this was in Afghanistan, I believe. And if they had a head injury of some kind, they were knocked in the head, getting out of the Jeep or the tank or whatever, and had concussion symptoms, they were taken to the medic. They were given NAC, N-acetylcysteine. This is a precursor to glutathione. It's an antioxidant. They were given a big dose and taking this dose all throughout the week. And at the end of a week, the folks who took NAC had 82% less concussion symptoms. They were basically done with their concussion. 42% who didn't take the NAC had improvement.
Huh.
Yeah. So there's
These are incredible studies. Now, has this been adapted by any like the VA or anything yet?
No, not that I know of. I wish they would. So that's why Dr. Gordon went outside and created this Millennium TBI Network, this foundation to support veterans, to give them help, to do the hormonal support and supplements. This is, you know, I would like to help people as well. But, and the, you know, yes, I wish this
frustration.
I want this to be the new standard on the sidelines of football games, on the sidelines of high school sports. I mean, let's have, instead of watching after someone has a suspected concussion and wait to see if they get better, there's this window of time in which we could be giving them something to help. And if we do more than NAC, we do, in the book, I have this whole protocol, first aid for your brain, that I think would really help people after a concussion.
Well, the book is a comprehensive program to heal traumatic brain injury, concussion rescue. Mm-hmm. And if everybody can see that, I'm going to post links to it on everything. It is out now. I talk to the authors before the books come out, but it's really cool when they actually are out. So I can say, buy it now, because this is a very important book.
It is.
Is there anything else you want to chat about?
I just want to say to all the listeners out there that it's never too late to heal your brain from injury. And you are worth it. You are the men and women who have served your country, and I want to support you. And I think this could really help you or your loved ones. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm going to push this episode out. And everybody, please check out the book. It's available now. And thank you so much, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.